Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Apple Podcasts or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort, and without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Hey everyone, I am so excited about today's episode. We're going to be exploring the world of music PR with Chloe Nightingale of Tiny Human PR. The subject is long overdue on the podcast. I know a lot of folks who studied marketing and PR in college and didn't know how to get into the biz, as well as many musicians who want a better understanding of how it plays into the big picture. So truly hope you enjoy this. This one's for you. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast hails from Bothell, Washington, and is an integral team member to many Seattle acts. She kickstarted her career in music PR as an intern at the beloved Seattle indie label Barsook Records while in college. In post-graduation, she made her way to Tiny Human PR as a publicist, supporting acts from yours truly to Gypsy Temple. So without further ado, please welcome one of the only stick shift drivers in all of Seattle, the Lizzo-loving, K-pop-appreciating, emo-night attendee, my friend Chloe Nightingale of Tiny Human PR.
Hello, hello, hello. That was a great intro, by the way.
Thank you.
Got everything in there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I guess, so starting back at the beginning, growing up in Bothell, what was like music to you when you were growing up? And did you know that you wanted to work in music one day?
Ooh, yes. 100%. So my parents, my dad specifically, was really, really into 90s rock. So like Cake, Soul Coughing, Modest Mouse, like Death Cab for Cutie when they were just getting started. And so we would listen to that kind of music, and that was kind of like a family bonding quality time activity that we would do. And then same on my mom's side, but she listened to more like 80s, like Madonna, Duran Duran, a little bit of Prince, Michael Jackson. And so I got two kind of different worlds of music, but it was something that I associated with like spending time with my family. And then as I was growing up and feeling all of the emotions that you feel as a teenager, I discovered lots of different kinds of music that I felt represented the emotions that I was having, and in a way that I wasn't able to put into words. And so I really latched on to the music that I could like show to people to be like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I can't actually tell you how I'm feeling, but like, this is how I'm feeling. And so I kind of used it as a navigating piece of life to find other people who listen to similar music that I listen to, because I was trusting that like we would probably get along if we listened to the same sort of music. And so because of that, I was always drawn to music. I always thought it was really, really interesting. I would love to just like sit and listen, like not do anything else, just sit and listen to music. And so when I was younger, my career desires have gone through a whole shift. I used to want to actually be a singer, and then I grew out of that. And then I wanted to do A&R at a label.
Nice.
Because I was like, I love going to shows. Like, I want to be able to go to shows. And then I was like, I grew out of that. And then I went to college, and I thought I wanted to do management. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna be like a manager, a tour manager. I'm gonna manage a band or a venue or something. And then I took a marketing class, and I was like, I need to do something that's marketing oriented, because this is really cool. This stuff is really, really neat. And so I kind of kept going and towards music, but I was like, I don't actually know where the marketing sits in music, but I need to do something that's still related to music. Mm-hmm. And then I was very fortunate to intern at Barsook, like you said. And then that put me in touch with my boss now. And, you know, I do implement a lot of the things I learned about marketing and like educating a lot of artists kind of about what PR is and then how it relates to marketing and like your image and your narrative and kind of your social messaging and like why that's important for putting out music.
Totally. And so I guess before we dive too deep into things, would you mind giving kind of that distinction between the two and then how they kind of coexist, the PR and the marketing?
Ooh, yeah. So PR exists as a piece of a marketing strategy. PR cannot be your entire strategy to be successful. PR usually consists of interacting with some sort of press outlet about your art, about your music. And that has to work hand in hand with the other pieces of a marketing strategy, like touring, like social media, like ads and that kind of stuff.
Very cool. And so when you were at Barsook, were you doing like PR and marketing for them as well?
With
that department?
I was doing more marketing stuff and then just like basic intern duties. Like it was my job to keep up the database and like figure out who to send records to and that kind of thing.
Right.
But I did get the opportunity to sit in on their marketing meetings. So once a week they would sit like in a meeting for like 5 hours and talk about every single record that was coming out in the next year and like every single facet, like where are we at in terms of like physical? What about merch? What about like actually getting the test pressings? Like, are we going to do vinyl? Does this cover art look okay? Like it was very eye opening to say the least. Yeah. Cause it's just like, there's so much that goes into putting out a record that I had never thought about.
Yeah. That always blew my mind when I started to figure that stuff out too, because I was in your shoes as well. Like, sitting and listening to music and just letting it impact. And you don't think like, I wonder how long they thought about marketing this record. Cause you just hear it in whichever medium they get to you. You're just like, great. I love this song, this album, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So what did that look like as a college student hoping or pursuing a career in music? What steps did you take and how did you actually land a spot at Barsook?
So the Seattle Office of Music and Arts, I think is what it's called. They put on these career day conferences, kind of. They used to be run by One Reel before they got bought out by AEG. Or like, I can't remember if they got bought out or like Bumpershoot bought part of AEG.
Yeah.
I think
you're right. One Reel was purchased by AEG, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So one of the first conferences I went to was still run by One Reel before they got bought. Anyways, all that is to say that I went to, I think probably like 3 or 4 of these conferences, like when I had just graduated high school. And most recent one I went to after I had graduated college, just kind of like, because they do a bunch of different panels about different aspects of the music industry. And I had gone to one while I was in college, and I had decided, because I always knew that I wanted to have an internship at Barsook. I was like, I love all these bands. I want to see what an indie label is like. I'm going to have an internship at Barsook. And so
the vision board, like this is where I'm headed.
Yeah. So I had told myself that. So I had spent like the conference was like the week after spring break. So in between two of my quarters, I spent the entire week working on my resume. And I was like, I need to stand apart. Like it needs to be interesting. So I had created an infographic resume.
That's awesome.
And so I was like, I'm going to have a good resume. I'm going to go to this conference and I am going to charm them and I am going to get that internship. And so that's what I did. I spent a week on my resume as like a college student on spring break. And I printed it out and I took it and I found the Barsook tabling spot and I was like, my name is Chloe, this is my resume, I love Death Cab for Cutie, I love Rilo Kiley, I've listened to lots of bands, I would like to intern for you. And they were like, cool, your resume is like the coolest we've seen today. That's cool.
Yeah.
They were like, here's my card. Like, give me an email. And I was like, cool. And so I followed up. That is like the biggest thing about the music industry is following up with people that you introduce yourself to once. Like, follow up multiple times. Don't be like super pushy, but like remind them that you exist. Like, that is the first step, is just like following up. So I followed up. And then I got connected and they were like, yeah, we like thought your resume was really cool. Would you like to come in and like meet the team? We usually have interns who are getting college credit. Like, would you need college credit? And I was like, yeah, I want to do it over the summer and like all this kind of stuff. So I got it like all settled and it did count for credit, which is super rad. But yeah, I just kind of like, I willed it into existence in some aspects.
That's awesome. And I think it's huge too, because we were kind of talking about this before. So many people don't even know where to go. And I think that's fantastic advice. And as you said, any part of the music that you want to be in, the follow-up's huge. I was overly tentative, like when we were trying to do this tour run. And when I started following up, like consistently, everything fell into place, because every single person is being inundated by the likes of artists, managers, etc. Mm-hmm. Like hundreds of emails, and it's like, yeah, just keep popping up.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in the mailboxes of people you're trying to like get something done with. So you just gotta follow up, be like, hey, I still exist, please do this thing, like, hey, can you help us out, you know? So that's really good. I totally, if anybody is like young and wants to get into music, I would recommend going to that conference, just because even the panels, like listening to people talk about their journeys through music, like I specifically remember, I can't remember her name, but she was a manager, I think, for the Head and the Heart. And she was kind of like talking about like how she became a manager, how she kind of got to the agency she was at, and like what was important. And then there was another guy like on the same panel who was one of the guys who runs the Pearl Jam fan club, which is really interesting. And he was just kind of like talking about what he does and like what it means to be a fan club. And this was like a while ago. So it was pre like really big social media. So like, I'm curious to see what that would be like now. But it was very interesting. Being in college, I remember being like, what kind of degree do you have? And they were all like, oh, I have a degree in like philosophy, or I have a degree in, what's the study of rocks?
Geology.
Yeah, it's like not geometry, it's the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were like, yeah, I think the fan club guy was like, yeah, I have a degree in geology. And I was like, how do you, what? Yeah, like, how did you get from here to there then? Like,
yeah. Studying the science of rocks to
to actual rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was good. It's good to just like listen to other people, and everyone there too is very open about sharing the knowledge that they have. So it's worth going to be like, hey, I would like to, another thing. Okay. I have another thing. In addition to following up, don't be afraid to just like ask someone out for coffee. Be like, I would like to buy you a cup of coffee. I would like to pick your brain about this. Like, can you tell me more? Because people are super receptive to that.
Yeah. Cause it's anyone that's been in these, that's in these positions has been on the flip side, mm-hmm. for sure. Because it's, like you said, philosophy, geology, math, PR, marketing majors, and then they make their way into music. It's there's no clear cut path for sure.
Yep.
So what did that look like? You network really effectively into Barsuk, and then what does that summer look like? And for someone who does, say, land a position within a label or any sort of music business, what feedback do you have to them while they're there,
like as an intern?
Yeah.
Work your hardest. Show them that you are someone who works very hard and is someone that's like worth recommending. And I as a person, I'm just like always eager to learn about new things. So I think that was part of it, as I was like, okay, I finished this thing, like, can you teach me how to do this? Can you teach me how to do this? And one of the things that I was doing while I was there as part of my curriculum, and then as the quarter ended and I stayed on as an intern, because I stayed there for about 9 months, and then I had college credit through like 3 months, But something I had started was, I was reading, have you read that book, The Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business?
Yes, by Donald Passman.
Yeah. 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 The book everybody recommends that you read. So I had just learned about it at the conference and I was like, I'm going to read this book. And so I was reading the book, and I would have check-ins with Grant, who works at the label. And I would be like, I read this thing in the book that I had never heard before. Like, do you do that here? Like, how does that work here? And so we would talk kind of about like how an indie label was different than a major label that they were describing in the book, or how maybe contracts were, some were 360 and some were like equal profit sharing. And it was interesting. So I continued that while I was there. So I would say definitely don't be afraid to ask questions, strike up conversations about things that you're interested in. And kind of when you forge those relationships, make sure that you have the capacity to nurture them afterwards. Cause that's something that I did too, with Grant, not just when I was looking for a job, but I would be like, hey, I haven't seen you in a little while. Like, can we grab coffee? Like, want to hear what's going on at the label? And just kind of like, how's your family? How are your kids? That kind of thing. Yeah. So just be mindful of your presence there and work really hard.
Totally. And can, it's funny because you mentioned the follow-up to get in the door, and then the follow-up after the fact, super important too.
Yeah.
And so did that then lead directly to Tiny Human?
Yeah.
You mentioned you were an intern for 9 months and then...
Yeah. So I was an intern for 9 months in college, and then I spent 6 months abroad in Australia.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was super fun. And when I got back, I finished college, and then I was like working full-time at... What was I doing? I was working full-time at Nordstrom as a barista. And I was like, I want to do something that's less customer service facing. And I want to do something that's like more in line with my degree and kind of get my career started. And so I was kind of like looking around casually, and then also like taking time for myself and volunteering and all that kind of jazz. And then I was talking to Grant at one point, and he was like, oh, I know this guy who used to work at Barsook. He's looking for an assistant or something. You should talk to him. And I was like, cool, sounds great. I'll do that. I'll go talk to him. And so that's how I met Ever. Like, Grant sent an intro and was like, hey, Ever meet Chloe, Chloe meet Ever. Y'all should, you know, meet. And I was like, cool, great, let's do it. And so, yeah, it was because of the effort that I had put in at Barsook that they were willing to recommend me to someone who I had never met, who was just like looking for anybody to do some work.
Yeah. And then you're proven too at that point. You crushed it over at Barsook, and then like, oh, we know she can do this job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what did that look like then? You mentioned you were doing kind of more marketing stuff over at Barsook, and how did that experience and then what you were learning at school apply, or did it when you...
Yeah. So when I first started at Tiny Human, I was part-time. And so it was kind of like a really slow onboarding process. Kind of just understanding the world of press and like how it works and just like the functions of press as it is in the music industry and like how it relates to everything, because everything's always changing. And I think as I have been there full-time now, it became more clear for me to see the like most basic pieces of marketing and like how they are used in like an album rollout campaign. And so I think at first I was just like, oh, this is like a cool thing that I don't know what's going on. Like, this is great. And then as I'm doing it more and more, I'm just like, oh yeah, this is that principle. And like, oh, you're just like, you're trying to target a certain market demographic. Like, yeah, it makes sense. And I think there was a point where it clicked and I was like, oh yeah, this is, I know how to do this.
Very cool. And so with the different clientele you have, does that play into it when you're, say, writing like a bio for someone or a press release? Are you approaching that differently every time?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause you shouldn't speak the same way about everybody's art, because it like everything that everyone makes is so unique that you want to phrase it and sort of package it in a way that is receptive to an audience that you think might like it. So like the way you talk about Americana music is going to be different than how you talk about rock or how you talk about blues, or maybe you have an instrumental band and you would have to talk about the sounds of the record in a colorful way without explaining lyrics because there are none. So yeah, definitely. It's all about messaging and like making sure that it's cohesive with like the brand identity of the person too, because sometimes the way in which there have been times where like we'll write a bio, like I'll write a bio or Ever will write a bio and we'll send it to the artist and they're like, no, you didn't get my record at all. That's not what that sounds like. And we're like, oh, but like knowing a little bit, like just listening to it, like that's what we get from it. And they're like, oh, but you have to consider like all these factors of like who I am as an artist and this kind of stuff. And then we're like, oh, okay. So how can we like meld the two together? Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Which, and I assume that's where a lot of the marketing and PR background overlap from the educational sense of this is how you target an audience and this is how you speak to that audience. That's kind of the intersection. Is that correct to assume?
Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. And so what does that process look like for you all? You have an artist that you sign like a contract with and it's okay, great. We're going to work with each other moving forward. Mm. Then what's next in an ideal world? And then what's the most common misconception, I guess, that artists have coming in sometimes?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Not really a tough question. There's a lot of layers to that question.
Yeah.
So usually the process, all of our projects are campaign based. And so we work with an artist usually to roll out either an album or an EP or some sort of assets. So we are working towards something. And usually what happens at the beginning, we create a timeline of like, what do we want? When do we want that to happen? What they have, like the assets wise, like, do they have a bio? Do we need to write them a brand new bio? Are the songs finished?
Yeah.
can we actually like put this thing out? Like, is it going to be finished on time? If you're aiming for, are you aiming for March? Like, but you won't actually have it done till like February 20th. That doesn't work. So logistically, we create a timeline that has room to be flexible. Talk about kind of what the goals are, like obviously main goal. And then are there goals leading up to that? Like, do you want singles? Do you want other asset placements? And once that is finished, then we kind of talk about bio and I keep saying brand identity, but it's like totally a thing.
Absolutely.
We talk about that and kind of like what the outward facing persona is for the artist, and how that works in tandem with their art. I think that's probably the biggest misconception, is that people don't think about their online presence specifically, and they don't think about that as a puzzle piece that like has to match their art. Because some people are like, oh, I don't do social media. And it's like, oh, you need to mm-hmm. at least a little bit.
Right.
Or like, oh, I do it, but like, it's only show posters. And it's like, no, you need to have more of a persona. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be who you actually are, but like, you have to say more than I'm playing a show, or else you're right. going to burn out your existing audience and you can't grow.
Yeah.
And so we talk about that, and then we kind of talk about touring and how that plays a part in terms of marketing strategy, because you want people to hear the music, you want to be able to have a fan base. And a lot of artists will come to us and be like, how do I get a booking agent? Like, how do I get signed to a label, and how do I get a booking agent? Can you help me? And we're like, oh, those are high lofty goals. We can tell you kind of how it works, but we can't just like press a button and get you there.
Right.
Cause it takes a lot of work. Ever always says that we're building a sandcastle one grain at a time. And it is true. You have to be patient and you have to put the effort in. Sometimes it's thankless. That's just how it works.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so funny too, because so many people see the art, even musicians sometimes, and I was guilty of this, as we did when we were sitting there listening to those tunes, like, oh, this is so great. And this band's going to be playing Tacoma Dome. Like, the art's going to speak for itself. It's fine. It's like, there was, as you saw when you went to Barsook, you're like, oh, there's these 5-hour meetings planning the record that's not going to come out for another year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's a whole team of people.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's not just going to all of a sudden click. And, yeah, and again, I've heard this from friends of mine. And then I know when we were sitting down for the first time, kind of hearing your initial consultations with artists, sometimes people, like you said, be like, how do I get booking agents? Like, okay, A, there's a lot of legwork you got to do, but also you're asking for more of a management kind of role.
Yeah.
And I hear people mix up management and PR a lot, which is kind of funny, but I do think it's funny, but it is something that's just like a misconception out there of like, oh yeah, can you get me a booking agent or help book these shows? And it's like,
yeah,
totally separate discipline. And I think that's what's so funny about music is all the industries you go into are all rolled up into music. Music contains all of them. You know, there's these big tech companies that have hire PR agencies and marketing firms and tech research, all of these things. Mm-hmm. Same thing with music, but a lot of people just assume, oh, it's the 2 people or 4 or 5 people you see on stage.
Yeah.
Which
it's totally not. Yeah. Everybody, especially on those big stages, everybody's got a huge team behind them.
Like, yeah, it's like each individual band member probably has
their own team. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I think, yeah, that's something that happens a lot too, is a lot of our job is kind of educating artists on the role of PR and like what a manager does and how that's different. And like, do you actually need a booking agent? Probably not if you can't draw a certain number of people in every market. But yeah, that's definitely something that we do for artists as well. Same with educating about social media and how to use it effectively, how it can help grow your fan base so you can tour and that kind of thing. Because everything goes hand in hand. Like nothing exists in a vacuum. Like it all talks to each other. And depending on where you put your effort, like you're going to get some sort of something back from that specific place.
Totally. And that was one thing I really appreciated sitting down with y'all was being, I think the line you had was, unless it's done, let's not talk about it yet. So we're like, great, there's this album, but it was like music video. Okay, if it might happen, let's not talk about it. If it's planned, the date to shoot, great, we can bring it in tentatively, but let's not talk about anything that's not ready.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. And I guess going off of that, when is a good time for artists to reach out or engage in PR? Like say, you know, there's a band getting started up or they're starting to play shows, they're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
When, in your opinion, would be the proper time to like, okay, now is the time where I can go out and get PR? Because I think a concern I'd been told a lot early on with some people were like, hey, don't go yet. You're not ready. Wait till you're ready kind of thing before you engage with someone.
I think it varies. I think that there are different spots and it kind of depends on your goals as well. Because for some people, the goal of success is defined as I just want to make money as a musician. Or for some people, it's like, no, I need to be selling out arenas or I'm not going to be a musician. Or for some people, it's like, I want somebody to write about my album in the Seattle Times. Like, that's all I want. So I think that if you're trying to reach a national stage, obviously you want to be a little bit farther in your career. You don't want to have just put out one song and never performed live or things like that. But it's really dependent. It varies. It's a lame answer, but it's so true.
It's a great point. And I think kind of what I'm hearing is like have something ready, like tangible to tie your story to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And you want to have a little bit of like history behind you. That way you can not compare your new stuff to it, but kind of use it as a reference to be like, hey, I made this thing before. Or like if you are putting out a debut album, then like, are you present on social media? Like, do you know people in the industry? Like, how'd you get started? Like, do you have an interesting story? Like, what's your angle? But yeah, I think another another way to know if you're ready for PR is if you just don't have the capacity to handle things. Like if you are a touring artist and you're starting to get some notoriety and like people are seeing you around, or people are requesting you, like if you're staying in Seattle, but you have a lot of requests to be like an opener, just having somebody else to kind of manage those requests. And like, if you're having a lot of requests for interviews and that kind of stuff, then you want somebody to like be in charge of that.
Totally. That's awesome. And so then I guess flipping it back to more your actual role, what does like your day to day look like? And for someone who's like, I want to be in music PR, what should they kind of expect, or what skills have you picked up along the way that you're like, man, I wish I knew this going in?
It's a lot of emails, lots and lots and lots and lots of emails. And I think that it's definitely a skill I had before, but I have honed, is being able to clearly communicate ideas through written word. Because nearly all of the people that I email, I've never met in person. I've never talked on the phone. I don't really know like what their humor is like. Like you have to be very conscious of the way in which you write, because you don't want anything to be misconstrued, or you don't want someone to be confused when you're like asking for something.
Mm-hmm. Especially because you're talking to people from all walks of life across the country digitally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was not something it's definitely like, I knew how to write and I knew how to like talk to people. But I was, all my previous jobs were like face to face, like customer service sort of thing. And so it was a little bit of a tough transition to being like, I don't talk to anybody. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, am I saying this right? Like, is my tone going to come across weird? So I had a lot of anxieties about that when I first started, and I was like, I'm only talking via email, but now it's like, it's fine. Whatever.
Right.
It's fine.
Totally. And what's funny, I used to be in like sales, and so calling on people was terrifying. And now because of that, email to me is so much easier, because I'm like, okay, worst case scenario, I'll get a snarky email, but like, I don't have to hear someone like getting angry with me or something like that.
Yep. Which that definitely is nice. Cause like there was a while where I was managing in the coffee shop, and just like having to deal with the really, really angry people is just like
about really petty things.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. You know? And so it's definitely nice to not have that now. Or like if someone's kind of upset, like maybe it's a semi snarky email, but like not really. Yeah. It's like, it's fine.
Pretty easy to shake off.
Yeah. But yeah.
Very cool. And so I guess, what is the coming like year look like for you? And in looking forward, I know that's so vast and broad, but like you're in this world of PR, like as you yourself or Tiny Human, what is like, is there like a goal you're marching towards? Cause it's growing and a growing agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the agency life is fast churn all the time, always new folks coming on in. So I guess just like a high level, what's that looking like for you?
Yeah. I know that Tiny Human is looking to expand.
Very cool.
Yeah. I don't know what the timeline is on that. Cause the office space we have is small right now, but I know Ever has expressed to me that he wants to continue growing. And yeah, so that's like Tiny Human. For myself, I would like to do more of the like management consulting stuff. Like I am much more familiar with technology than Ever. So I'm the one that explains it to our clients, especially the ones who are like, what's Facebook? Yeah. I'm like, here, let me tell you. So I really enjoy that. I enjoy, also, we've had a few clients who, like when we were working together, you were like, these are my goals. These are my like for sure goals. These are like I would like to do these. And these ones are like, they might happen. I like working with clients who are very clear and precise on what they are trying to achieve. And so I would like to find that in the people that we work with and kind of just like help drive them to those goals. Because I feel like there's like, that's obviously like a little bit more management too, which isn't what we strictly do, but I find that interesting, and kind of creating, what's the word I'm looking for? Creating plans for social media, like narrative plans, you know, kind of, because that's something we briefly talk about with people when they're just like, well, what do I do with social media? Like, we talk about like, okay, you've got an album in 6 months, so like maybe once every 2 weeks you should probably say I have an album coming out, and then maybe 1 week you talk about the process of writing a song, and then maybe over 4 weeks you talk about what it was like to first pick up a guitar and that's why you wanted to write this album, sort of thing. So I like kind of that creative brainstorming. I can't see right now how that would fit in addition to like what we're already doing, but that is a goal of mine to like do more of that, because I really like that.
Nice. And I think a lot of folks would really benefit from that too, mm-hmm. because that's something that's really difficult to craft your story, even when you think you know yourself so intimately. Mm. Like you said, you listen, someone else listens to your record, you have this this more objective point of view and go, well, this is what I'm hearing and this is the story that makes sense. Mm. I think it's super important for folks to hear, especially when you have your nose in something. You even hear like the huge major label bands and artists that are talking about, they put out an album and they didn't think it was that different, but people either react super adversely or positively and it's so different. And they're like, it is, this is just me though.
Yeah.
But it's that whole story crafted around it that lands with people.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I have a little get stumped section here to wrap things on up. So we'll see.
Let's do it.
And I'm just going to give you some options and you let me know, your preferences. So, Lizzo or Chance the Rapper?
wow. well, I like them for different reasons and definitely different moods.
That is fair.
I think that... Oh, okay. So remember how I was telling you that I went to rock camp this past weekend? So the camp director, Audra Boo, she's a local Seattle musician. She's super rad. One of her really big things that she was driving home all weekend was, what would Lizzo do? Because Lizzo is just like so much self-love, so much positivity. And that is something that has stuck with me. So I would say Lizzo, just because I want to embody the positivity and happiness that comes from Lizzo and like be in situations where I'm like, okay, you know, like maybe I'm feeling insecure. Like, I don't know if I can do this. And then I can be like, no, what would Lizzo do? She would rock it. Let's go.
That's awesome. I'd actually love to touch on that. You went to this rock camp and you actually picked up, you've been picking up the bass.
Yeah, I learned how to play bass this weekend.
That is awesome. And songwriting terrifying. As well.
Yeah.
So what has that been like? Because you mentioned you've always had this passion and appreciation for it. You've been on the business side and now you're picking up an instrument. What has that been like from the opposite end?
So I taught myself to play guitar in high school, but I've never been in a band with other humans. That sounds weird.
Robot bands only.
Yes. Beep boop. I've never been in a band. I haven't written collaboratively. And I just hadn't done it. And so I got involved with the Rain City Rock Camp as a camp counselor for the young campers, who are ages 7 to 17. And so I like help them with their interpersonal struggles and be like, this is how you write a song. This is what a bass is, that kind of thing. And then I was like, I want to learn how to do this. And so I took a leap and learned a new instrument, and it was very exciting and also very, very scary. And, it was very thrilling to write with people I didn't know. And like so it was a 3-day camp. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we got put in a band on Friday and we performed a song on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was exhilarating. It was amazing. And it's such a welcoming, safe space.
That's like, awesome.
Like the whole thing I was explaining about like when people say, I'm sorry, you're told to say you rock. Like, so it's affirming that no, you can take up space. You can be here. You are meant to be here, sort of thing. And so it was just so cool. It was so rad. Our song was great. Like the other women that I worked with, they want to keep playing music. And so I think we're going to keep playing music. I need to get a bass.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was exciting to kind of be a part of the creative process and like trusting the process. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy for me to think from the business side of like, it strategically makes sense to do this. And like when we were creating music together, just like being in band practices, it was like, okay, we need to have a song by Sunday. So if you like that, like, let's try and play with that. And like, let's just trust that what we are doing is going to create something. And it did. And it was like, it was mind blowing.
That's awesome. What kind of stuff were you writing?
So I wrote this like cool bass line, or no, I was working on a different bass line, and then we had the person who was on keys, because it was a guitar, keys, drums, bass, and a vocalist. And so the person on keys had come up with this like cool thing, and then I was like, oh, let me figure out how to do that on bass. And so it was like a bum 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 da da. It's a great bass. But yeah, it was really cool. And then like from there, we like brought the drums in, and then we brought the guitar in, and then we like worked together. And vocals were the last thing that we did, just because lyrically we weren't sure. We were all kind of like, we had lots of ideas, and so we were like, how do we bring it all together? Mm-hmm. But it ended up being really, really cool, and it was so much fun, and it was great to perform. I've always liked performing. Like I love karaoke. Absolutely love it.
What's your go-to track?
Ooh, so I like to do something different every time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, just because I I consume so much music and I listen to lots of different stuff. Yeah, but I guess if I had to pick one, I would say Valerie by Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
Because it's a classic, lots of people know it, but it's not too like...
Yeah.
For those listening, I just made a motion with my hands that looks like a little claw.
Yeah. That's awesome. So two different worlds, but K-pop or emo?
Ooh. I forgot we were doing this exercise. Yeah.
No, that's perfect.
I gave you a long ass answer.
No, that was actually wonderful. And then I started asking questions.
I love
off
it.
On the tangent as well, because that's awesome.
Oh, K-pop or emo? What is the situation? Like, I just have to pick one?
Yeah, just...
I would say K-pop for where I am now, because I think that there are... Oh, actually, I don't know. Maybe emo. I don't know. There's this whole... I feel like they're so different.
Yeah, they're so different. They're like polar opposite, at least from what I've experienced.
Yeah. So like, I really like emo for the emotional attachment I had to it and the community that it's brought me. But I also really like K-pop from the business aspect, because it's just like so constructed.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is, you like it because it's created for you to like.
Right.
And that's fascinating to me. That,
yes.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's churned out so quickly too, which is like lame, because then those artists, like, they have to be at the top of their game, like, or else they won't make it. But it's also just so interesting to watch the ways, the super nuanced ways that success happens for certain groups.
Yeah. And it literally is produced almost in the way that like a cereal provider goes, here's the science behind why people like this flavor or cereal, we've perfected to a science, now market it and go.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
that's what exactly what K-pop is. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's so current too. Like, mm-hmm. they, whatever sounds are in popular music, particularly like the dance sort of sounds, they're taking those and they're creating new songs with all of those pieces, and it's just like it happens so quickly.
And each person has like their own identified persona and role. It's
it kind of
mirrors like the teen pop bubble of like 1999 to 2001, like Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Like it was so calculated and really like the smartest, truly some of the smartest people in music are putting these acts and campaigns together. And
Yeah, crazy. It's so, I don't know how much you know about K-pop.
I don't know much at all, actually.
So a lot of the groups in the K-pop sphere are, they are produced and managed by one of three big management companies.
Oh, wow.
And so if you're not one of those big three, you're like an indie, and it's really hard for you to succeed because everything in their music industry is set up to cater to the big three.
Wow. So That's crazy, especially because there's been this wave, mostly in the United States, of independent is a way you can go because you have access and technology enables you to upload your songs and whatnot. But it is so oversaturated to know that it is still so dominated by basically three companies.
Yeah. And it's the people who run the big three companies, they like don't like it when the indie groups become famous. Like, do you know BTS?
Yes.
So they're one of the groups that wasn't managed by the big three.
Oh, no way. When you were talking about that, I completely assumed that they were one of the big three.
No. Wow. And so it was like, it was a really big upset in the industry over there because they were like, how did this group rise to international fame?
Yeah, because they brought K-pop here, basically. I mean, it was popular, but to where everyone knows who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the track they did with Halsey. Like, that definitely helped their fame. Yeah, but yeah, I would say K-pop because I think it's gonna be the next big thing.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of starting to be.
It's already
like,
multi-billion-dollar business.
Yeah, so yeah, like Blackpink played Coachella, and like BTS is getting big, and there's lots of groups that are just like coming here. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think emo's dead.
Yeah. But it's funny because we were talking about emo night has like popped up though. And it it's certainly like marketed on nostalgia, but the emo nights are huge.
They are. Yeah, it's true. But it's very much nostalgia, and there are like emo revival bands. Like there's Neck Deep and there's, I can't remember the other one, State Champs. But they're still like holding on to that sound, and it's not anything new.
Right.
And definitely emo night, it's super fun, but it is a nostalgic sort of thing. Just it's not you know, bringing anything new to the table.
Totally. MXM Tunes, or like, oh my gosh, I messed it up.
Ooh.
Like Healy.
Oh, they're so different.
Or like Keeley 47.
Like Keeley 47. I would say, like Keeley 47. Because I really like so in a lot of her songs, she uses her vocals percussively.
Oh, very cool.
And I like that. Because it's like, also her stuff is kind of more on the dance side, and I do really like dance music. It's a guilty pleasure that is not, I listen to a lot of it. But yeah, and she's also just like, she's a badass bitch. Like, she's out there living her life. Like, she's in the same vein of like Megan Thee Stallion and Lizzo and like Tierra Whack and all that. Like, badass female MCs. And I'm really into that lately because I'm like, I want to own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do it.
Has she come to Seattle at all? Like, is she on tour?
Yes. I think she came like 6 months ago or something.
Okay. Was she like Numos or?
I think it was the Croc.
Oh, okay. Crocodile. Very cool. I love that room.
Yeah.
It sounds so good.
It's so good. So, fun fact, the Rain City Rock Camp Young Campers Showcase happens at the Crocodile.
Oh,
and so it's
so
really
cool.
Cute because these like little 7 and 8 year olds get up on stage at the Crocodile and like play their song. It's so cute.
That's incredible. That would be such a crazy feeling too, because it's a pretty good sized room, but then if you're like a 7 year old on that stage, that thing's like,
and it's always like, it's always packed with all the parents.
Oh,
and so like,
so cool. So they get like the true experience. They're playing to like a sold out crowd, essentially.
Yeah, and it's really cool.
That's awesome. And so last and probably most pressing question is, what is the hardest spot in Seattle to drive stick shift?
Ooh, I really dislike driving right in downtown, where there's those cobblestones, and then in between like First and Second, it's pretty steep. Doing that in the rain, not my bag.
I have only ever driven automatic, and that spot scares me. That and then going towards I-5 from First, if you're trying to go up, I don't even know what road that is, but it goes by like the Fifth Ave Theater, and trying to, that scares me too. So I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, because with driving stick shift, you have to like make sure that you don't pull the clutch out too fast, or else you're gonna, you know, stall the car. But you don't want to give it so much gas that your wheels are spinning when you're trying to like catch. And if it's like slippery, it's like, it's a whole thing.
Right.
But yeah, definitely the cobblestone roads. Not my favorite.
Well, I can't imagine, but I guess that's my only avenue. I can imagine.
Yes.
But I do not know.
Yes. Imagine the anxiety you feel in an automatic and then like multiply. Just wind it up.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing this. And where can folks find you? Do you have like, you know, websites, Instagram, Facebook, anything that you want for Tiny Human, and then any personal stuff you want people to check out?
So we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with Tiny Human. And I run all of those accounts. So if you ever want to see what we're up to, or if you want to say hi, that's a good way to get a hold of me. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. My name is Chloe Nightingale. You can find me if you want to chat. We can chat about PR. I can help you with your socials. And on Instagram, I don't post very much. I'm more of a lurker, which I'm okay with admitting.
Yeah.
But if you want to see the few things I do post, you can find me at Miss Chloe, and it's spelled MSKLOEY, which is not how my name is spelled, but you know, all the regular ways were taken. Connect with me there. You can find me on LinkedIn too if you want. You want to get connected in a professional sense?
I literally was on your LinkedIn earlier.
It's my jam. I feel like social media platforms, like you get different communities in each.
Totally.
So.
Instagram, I feel like, is the easiest way to actually contact somebody.
Yeah.
But hopefully nobody at my old job listens to this. When I was in recruiting, I had LinkedIn Recruiter.
Mm.
And when I knew I was leaving, I started messaging people at labels to meet with them, because it let me, you know, because most people at major labels
are hidden.
Yeah, they're hidden, or it's like a locked profile. You can't message, but with the recruiter, you could.
Ooh,
so I would message them and be like, "Hey, I'm not trying to recruit you for anything," because I was taking a trip to Nashville, and I would hit up everybody in Nashville, like, "I'm coming to Nashville on this date. Are you down to meet?"
Did you get any connections?
Yeah, I actually had a meeting at Sony.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool. And then when I went to LA, I actually mostly did Instagram for LA, which was really, because a lot of the LA folks weren't on LinkedIn, or the folks I was trying to get a hold of.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, LinkedIn is like an older industry thing.
Yeah. And so
you gotta find your market.
Yeah. So like I was like, I hit up like the Warner Chapel VP. And like the older folks were on LinkedIn. And so I was like messaging them, and they were like, "No one has ever approached me on LinkedIn before." And that's why I responded to you. I was like, "Then I'm going to keep going while I got this." And I don't have it anymore. But if anyone from my old job listens, I'm sorry. I guess, not really. I guess it's not illegal.
You rock.
You can still message people. So nothing done wrong, technically. But,
awesome.
Thank you so much again for doing this.
Yeah,
this is really
thank
cool.
Thank you for having me. This is super fun.
Right on.
I like it.
Cheers.
Talk about music forever.
Yes. Ghost. Honestly, I can't believe you're still on. That was Your Friend Again by Trevor Jansen, one of Chloe's good friends. Believe it or not, he just started putting out music, so be sure to go show him some love on social media and your preferred music streaming platforms. Huge shout out again to Chloe for taking time out of her busy schedule to shed some light on the world of music PR and just sharing her story in general. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. Truly appreciate that extra effort, and I'll see you next time.